Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But hang on a second. You've brought this up in the same way 5 episodes ago and asked for a solution from someone who can't give it to you. I need a solution to something else. Our fucking defending.
We have got Stuart Clarkson, pre-Newcastle, was over in Italy saying, a long commute to the game today for NFFC all over. I left Canazai in the Italian Dolomites. Is that right? Dolomites 7 in the morning, currently heading to Verona Airport, flying to Gatwick to drive to Nottingham. Sorry, that didn't turn out as a better result for you in the end, Stuart. We've got Nottingham Forest all the way in South America from Chile saying they are supporting the biggest club in the East Midlands. I'd like to say you're the chilliest fan club for Forest in the world. Wee.
What are you doing with the puns, okay? I should get back on the mic, but go on. Who else have we
got? We've got the good old NFC Australia for you saying, where does our next win come from? I hate to admit it, but I think we're heading down.
That's Mark from Australia. That's not NFFC Australia, right? It's just
Mark.
Yeah,
sorry. Mark from Australia. Good contributor to the podcast, regular contributor. Chris, how are you doing?
Yeah, one of our correspondents in Australia. Yes, No, I'm not doing okay. We lost to Newcastle. We can't seem to win any home games. We've won one of our last 7. The others, I think, we've lost. I'm not happy. I'm disappointed. I'm pissed off. But this will be a bittersweet episode because there will be a bittersweet symphony at the end of it, and I'll try and pick us back up. How are you?
Yeah, well, it's not been a good day off the back of a pretty unsuccessful and unfortunate series of events as a UK driver all the way through my life, really. I don't blame anyone but myself, but since being on 6 points a couple of years ago, I have been extremely careful, grown up and mature, and have gone and found myself with another 2 fines in 1 week, and it's looking like I'm going to be banned for 6 months, which is extremely upsetting and going to be a catastrophe for my life for
Hold on. Let's just dissect this a little bit before we get into more of the Forest stuff. I thought you were going to say it's going to be a terrible week. You know, we've just lost to Newcastle and you're going to go into all that, and all of a sudden you're talking about driving bans. By the way, for the record, everyone, Matt isn't like speeding 30, 40 over the speed limit. He literally went like 3 over the speed limit.
No, Chris, you live in Dublin, and before that you lived in Canada. I don't know if other Forest fans or other listeners to this podcast spend much time down here in the wonderful Sadiq Khan's London and what he's done to the roads over the past few years, especially of recent. But yeah, these are 3-lane motorways now with 30-mile-an-hour limits right the way out of the city, and then in southeast London, 40-mile limits down towards Kent, and I've been done for doing 34 in the 30 and 44 in the 40, 3 days apart.
Before we drag this on any further, right, there's 2 things I want to say to that. Some people would just say, don't be dangerous, don't speed, which I certainly don't. And do you know what other people would say, Matt? Do you know what other people would say? They would say, how many parking fines have you got in your life? How unorganized are you? One of those people would be me. How many parking fines did you get in the space of 5 weeks once when I was younger? Parking fines, how many? Go on.
We're talking years ago, mate. We're talking years ago.
No, 21.
21.
21 parking fines in 5 weeks, so you're just not organisational. Maybe you need to be off the road, I hate to say it. I'm not going to wind you up anymore about that. Can we get back to the Forest, please, all right?
But yeah, Newcastle wasn't great either, but I'm just sick of VAR and hearing this talk of blue cards and things. Like, what? You know what? We can't go into that much because people talk about it a lot, and I think everyone does just genuinely share the same opinion. But what's slightly frustrating is this idea that people go, oh, well, it's here to stay, and, well, we can't do anything about it. Like, can someone who's got some pulling power, can someone with a heavyweight in the media or even in the podcast world or something, the bigger clubs, bigger fan groups, just say, well, we can create a boycott. We can do something about it, surely.
Referees are still going to make mistakes. The referee made the mistake in not giving the penalty before VAR happened.
People are willing to accept that.
I'm not going to sit down here and have you pontificate over VAR again. The decision not to give Taiwo Wanyi's penalty was horrendous. I agree with you there. But I'm not going to sit here and give up on this absolute notion that, you know, can I ask you a question? Are the players of our team, because, like, we've sacked one coach, got another in, and the same mistakes seem to keep happening. Are the players of our team, some of them, aware of what's happening, do you think? Are they aware that we're sleepwalking our way into the bottom three without a deduction? Are they actually aware of the circumstances, Matt? Because it's driving me absolutely insane. And do you know what's driving me insane? Our forwards are all doing their jobs. Elanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi, Taiwo Wanyi, they were doing their jobs even before Nuno got put in charge. He created more tacky stuff. So what's going on with their defence, Matt? What's going on with their defence?
Do you think that the Murillo excitement is a bit of... Are we blindsiding ourselves a bit? Or is it a red herring? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it is a red herring at all. I think that we have a very special defender on our hands who's going to be worth an awful lot of money. But I think the
So it's not our forward players. It's not Murillo. People are loving Tavares now for getting forward. It's got to be someone back there. I think it's Ryan Yates, mate.
Don't piss me off. Ryan Yates is the centre midfielder. Look, I think the problem we're having is reality, right? We'll just start with the basics that everyone's talking about, set pieces. Let's just talk about it, right? What is our set piece coach doing in training? Because I need to know why we're conceding at least one, if not two, set pieces a game. Now, training ground set piece, first goal... By the way, whatever, we'll just get into it. Training ground set piece, first goal. Okay, very good set piece, but who's picking up the man at the back? Great finish, great ball over the top. I still get angry looking at it, though. My question to you is, Matt, we're playing West Ham this weekend, right? We lost 3-2 to West Ham under Cooper, downed by set pieces. Are we going to see the same shit again this time round? Because we're seeing the same mistakes time and time again. So what's our set-piece coach doing and what are our defenders doing to combat the problems there? Because it's actually driving me insane. Should we just play the blame game?
Ryan Yates is on the pile again. I would have put Nuno Tavares on, but I only saw flashes of the game while I was at work and I kept just seeing him spoon it high and wide every time I was tuning in from work. So Nuno Tavares is on for me, along with you've got to put Elanga in, sadly. I don't want to because I love the guy so much. He actually got the goal. He's my favourite Forest player at the minute, but he's got to be in there for that pass. So it's Yates, Elanga and Tavares, Chris.
By the way, Chelsea have just won late in the day. They won the death 3-1.
I'm watching it.
Oh, so you are watching football again. Can we get real for a second? What is going on at the back during set pieces? Like, what? Like, where's the switch on? Where's the focus?
Mate, that wasn't the blame game. That wasn't the blame game. You're supposed to contribute to it. I'll contribute to it.
I didn't see enough of the game because I was driving for 4 hours and I had to go watch bits and pieces on repeat.
So you only just told me that I only saw bits and bobs of the game. You've just said that you didn't see enough of the game. Cutting the blame game there. I blame you and I blame me for not watching it properly.
Okay, well, next section is a conversation I need to have with you about, well, just the points deduction, right? And I'm not talking about the points deduction itself, where we don't know what's going to happen. Like, I've already spoke about that. Oh, the Premier League. Yeah, I know. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's my problem. When Everton got a deduction, they rallied and won 4 in a row. Since we've got a deduction, we've not won a single game in 4. All right? And I don't think I've seen it play on the team mentally at all. I just think they need to be aware that we're in desperate need of points, even with.
Yeah, but you're tapping back into the conversations we've had way back when you were shouting me down about these players. They're not here for Forest. They're here to be Premier League players, whether we're there or not. And I'm not saying they don't care and they're not trying to be as professional as possible, but
no, listen, no, I'm off on one. Do your job. Do your fucking job. Okay?
I can't drive to my job anymore, mate. That's over.
I'm not talking about you specifically, you reckless idiot. I'm talking about the players, the defenders. Do your job. Because I'll tell you what, the couple of times we did our job and we only conceded one goal in the game, we beat Man United, we beat Newcastle, we draw with Bournemouth, we pick up points. All the other games, we seem to just be able to concede litter and litters of goals, and it's getting out of control. And if you want me to get really specific on it, aerial duels have to be won. Niakate, I think, is a really good defender, but for some reason doesn't seem to win his aerial duels. All right, there's statistics out there proving that. If someone wants to prove me wrong, go ahead, swipe me at Twitter. I don't care. I just think that we need to figure out what our combination is. Right now, our best combination, weirdly enough, seems to be the two 21-year-olds, Murillo and Omobamadeli. Bring him back in then. And like as if we thought our goalkeeper was going to be the problem to all our issues. Sells has done okay, but he's not. That's not the be-all and end-all. We've changed every aspect of the game like children in a playground playing hopscotch thinking we're going to win the fucking game by switching a manager, a set-piece coach, a goalkeeper. By the way, this point is validated by Barstool Chief, who I heard on Forest Focus say the same thing, so I agree with him. I'm not going to take his thunder there. I just think we need to realise and wake up and realise the biggest problem in our game is we need to stop conceding goals. And how the fuck do we do that? Right? How do we do that? And set pieces are going to be coming thick and fast with West Ham this weekend. James Ward-Prowse, once again. Suchek, whoever. I don't know, but I'm sick of it. And I'm sorry for going on a tangent. I'm sorry for going on a rant. But stick Omobamadeli back in, because he's not just because he's Irish. Chuck him back in. Chuck Murillo back in.
Yeah, that's what we were all sat here thinking. Oh, here he goes.
No,
but
it's not. But listen, he's doing well.
You make good points.
No, but hang on. 2024 so far has been this, including the FA Cup, by the way, which I'm very positive about that we're through to the next round of the FA Cup. But I just want to sprinkle in a little bit of bitterness. This has been our 2024 so far, okay? A replay with League One Blackpool, scraped through in extra time. A replay with Championship Bristol, scraped through on penalties. A draw away at a Bournemouth team we should have beaten. A loss away at a Brentford team we should have beaten. A 2-1 loss at home to Arsenal for mistakes. And then Newcastle on Saturday. I'm just getting a little bit sick of this year already.
What's Marinakis's... what do you think he's at the minute with all this? It's important, really, what he's thinking, isn't it?
Oh, God, I don't
know. Go on, speculate. What do you think he's thinking?
I mean, he's kicking TV screens if that was a real picture. He's probably just thinking in his head, as an owner, he's probably thinking, I've tried to solve every problem there possibly can be by hiring and firing the right people for the jobs, and I still have the wrong people for the jobs. You got 47 players, you got new coaches, new set-piece coaches, new staff, you got new players, new goalkeepers, and it's just like, he must be thinking, I am firefighting an absolute blowtorch hurricane here. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think in the back of his mind, he's probably thinking, I don't know, like, to be fair to him, he's been patient, because since he came in 2017, he stood by a lot of managers who I thought he would sack a lot sooner. But overall, I don't know. I don't know what's going through his head. But it's definitely frustration.
I'm worried about how long he's willing to put up with it for now.
Oh, God. Here he is.
Honestly, this could have been his...
Go on, give me your stupid speculation.
But what happens if he starts going, you know what, that is too expensive. That'll churn itself over, whatever. Fuck them. I'm going back to Olympiakos to take over Greece and get them doing well in the Champions League. That's all he needs to do.
Matt, I think he's so far into it now. It's almost like he went into the bank. He's opened the door. He's taken off his mask. He's already shot a security guard who's on the ground lying around. He's gone, right, I have to rob the bank now. I have to go through with it. You know what I mean? He's already in the back. He's put so much money into this. It's all on the line, you know? I think he's like, screw it. We're going full Joker from Batman. Do you know what I mean? He has to go all in on it. There's no pulling the plug now because he's, to be fair to him, he's invested so much of his own cash and his time. So I think he's all in. And to be fair to him, he's been all in. So yeah, I'm not worried about him pulling the plug on us at all. You sound like you are.
No, I'm just nervous. It's something that we don't often think about. And I would be devastated if he stopped doing the thing that everyone's taking the piss out of him for. Do you know what I mean? That's why I'm trying to have his back again. I'm just thinking, come on, I don't know what it is. There's something about the way these players behave. And you heard Kelvin Wilson say it on the other pod. You've heard other articulate football commentators saying it. It's about concentration. It's about Forest players not being quite on it. This sort of talk about people getting up to speed still. We're in February, mate. We're in February.
We're running out of time again. Look, we all knew this was realistically going to be a relegation battle to the end. But my question for you is, to turn another question on its head, is, do you think we're going down?
I said when we were guests on the Mist Rolling In podcast back before the Everton game, when all three, JJ and Jacob, yourself, were all asking the question, something like, if we don't do well against Everton, does that mean we need to be concerned? And I think the three of you said no. And I was like, well, I think we do. Was it that? I'm trying to give myself something. And I can't even remember the...
All I'll say to you is, I don't remember what you said then, but it was way too early to tell. That was before a deduction. Cooper was actually still in charge then. There was still a lot of different things to happen up until that point.
Well, exactly. That's why I was like, we definitely shouldn't feel like we're home and dry.
But I didn't think we'd go down at that point. And the funny thing is, we're still outside the relegation zone for some reason, for some crazy reason. And we still will be, in my opinion, outside the relegation zone after next week, because I think Man United will do over Luton. They're back on some form of form. So I think they'll beat Luton at Kenilworth Road. And yeah,
Luton Egg's got a crack.
Yeah, it has to. But the problem we're having is, the Forest Egg could crack away 6 points off them. We could technically be 5 or 6 points behind them now if we get that minus, which we still don't know about, and it's ridiculous.
Forest Egg, mate. I think it cracked a while ago. It's just like, it's like Humpty Dumpty. It's been reassembled a few times. And is Humpty Dumpty an egg? Have I got that right? Anyway.
I think Humpty Dumpty's an egg, but you know what? I think we keep making mistakes like you're driving. Just we literally are addicted to making mistakes. Like, seriously.
If only I could give Forrest some of my points. Whee!
Okay. Right, with that, let's move on. We didn't really dissect the Newcastle game, but everyone else already has. Do you want to move on to West Ham and let's have a conversation about this weekend? I mean, West Ham, bad run of form. 6-0 loss, 3-0 loss, obviously, to Man United and Arsenal. Two decent sides. But, we should be reasonably confident going into this, shouldn't we?
No, I don't think we should be reasonably confident. I think we're all feeling like it's one of them do or die weeks because of the state that we're in. So we have to convince ourselves that we can do it because of the state West Ham are in. Blah, 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 blah. I don't think we should be confident, though, because I think it's... Let me paint you the picture. Is it conceivable to you? In fact, is it more than conceivable that you find yourself on Saturday evening switching off after the game, whatever it's going to be, but this is how it's the feeling, and we get screwed over by a referee, we sustain an injury to a couple of players, Sangari has made his return, has been subbed off because he seems lethargic and not up for it, and we've lost 1-0.
No, I don't think we're going to lose 1-0.
Yeah, that's true. I do think that there'll be goals. I do think Forest will score, but my point is I wouldn't be too confident because what I've just talked you through, except for the scoreline, feels really like... I'm going to the game, by the way. I'm going to the West Ham game, sorry.
Oh, well. That's a bit of good luck. I mean, you used to be good luck, then you weren't good luck. Now you're good luck again. That could be good. Right, but I don't know about those setup circuits. Like, what do you think Nuno needs to say to these players to turn things around? I'm being serious. What, like, if he's in the dressing room right now, you know what he's like. You've seen some of his interviews. You quite like them, I think. The way he's a bit cold, shouldered to some of the media, just shutting questions down. Like, if I was a journalist right now doing the pre-match with Nuno, right? You be Nuno, I'll be a journalist. I want to find out what you think, okay? Nuno, obviously it's been a bad run of games so far in 2024. You've done well to progress to the next round of the FA Cup. You have some players coming back from AFCON. You've been missing them deeply. Do you think you're going to start some of them this weekend to try and pick things up?
Every week we have all the players. All the players are important. Not just, yes, very good. We have people coming back from AFCON, but every week we are hoping for these things.
It's Nuno that's very soft-spoken today. It's funny because before I sometimes feel like you're a bit of a harsh school teacher, but you've been good. That's nice. Nice, though. So every week you have players. Can you answer the question, though? Are you bringing Sangare straight back if he's available? Are you bringing Aina straight back in if he's available?
Both these players are training. They came back, they've had a busy week, they had lots going on, and they are available, and we will make decisions. Obviously, I cannot say right now, I'm not going to give anything away tactically to the opposition, but...
Is this accent any good? Just,
yeah,
is it worth it?
It's decent. It's softer, though. He's a bit... I think he feels...
Yeah, it's
a bit
my first ever attempt.
Wrong.
You've caught me unprepared.
It's not bad. It's not bad. You did a good Cooper. Let's keep going. Right. Okay, Nuno, I get it. Obviously, you just told me you can't make decisions. I know you're still trying to be fairly cryptic. But realistically, something needs to change.
Many things need to change. Many
what are those things?
Many things.
What are they?
Concentration. We need to be more competitive. All of these things
lineup?
Need to change.
Does the lineup need to change?
That will be up to me and my staff and up to the players to show me that they should be starting.
I know that, Nuno, but this is why we're here. I'm trying to get some sense. Is there any injuries in the team? Is there any interesting players coming through the academy in training? Like, can you give us any hint of who you might play so that we can speculate online? Please, Nuno.
You need to have some of my Portuguese chill out juice.
What was, okay, there's no need to patronize me, Nuno. I've been... doing this club and been a journalist and covering this club for a long time. I'm trying to get some from you. Can you give me anything about this weekend?
I cannot tell you who is going to be playing, okay? Let me tell you this. We know exactly what our job is and what we have to do to get there.
Oh, God.
That is up to the players when they cross the white line. It is up to me to make sure we've done everything we possibly can to make that as possible as for them to do. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for another 20-minute interview of giving us absolutely nothing. And I know that you would call that your job, Nuno. But let me ask you one question.
I have let you ask many questions, but please go ahead.
I'm good at this, mate. I'm good at being Nuno.
Okay, well, we'll finish it on that.
It sounds good. It sounds good in my head, my headphones on, but I don't know how it's coming across. But yeah, I think it's done a bit.
Anyway, we'll move on from this very similar and but bland interview that's similar to what happens most of the time these days. Right. Let's get into the next thing. What is he actually thinking of?
He is a bit of a political one though, isn't he? He doesn't. He tries to keep it real. He tries to keep it open. Yeah, he is like that. And my favourite time was when he
just doesn't. He doesn't really need to deal with the media. He's like so focused on his other stuff. He's like, I'm just not.
Yeah, no, but what did he say that time? Someone said, oh, what was that question I loved the other week where they just said, oh, you did a really long-winded question. He just went, no.
It was quite good. But I did like the Cooper mind games where he'd say, I think the player's got a knock, and then the player would be fucking starting on the Saturday. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I did love those little mind games. Obviously, we
go on, let's talk these AFCON
them.
Players, mate. You asked Nuno there in our improv if they what about it. I was honestly thinking, are you really that excited about Sangare coming back? Do you think he's coming back? And he's like, do you reckon he's sat there in the Ivory Coast right now going, oh my God, we just won this. Oh my God, I get back to Nottingham this week. Can't wait to play West Ham. Do you think that's what's happening?
Yeah, no, I don't. You don't need to act like a giddy schoolgirl from some teen movie in the 2000s. That's not what we're talking about, Matt. Well, do I think he's excited to come back? Yeah, he's just won the AFCON. I think he's happy that he's won it. Now he's confident. We need a confident midfielder coming into play. We've just lost one of our best midfielders in Mangala. And we need another one back. And we need him to step up. Do I think he's looking forward to coming back to training after winning the AFCON? Yes. Do I think Aina is looking forward to coming back after doing well in the AFCON, apart from the final, obviously? Yes. Was he on perform before Christmas? Yes. If Bali's not injured, will he make a difference? Yes. So your stupid red hot take from one of the last two episodes of, oh, I don't think it'll make that much of a difference if they come back, is nonsense. Those three players will make a huge difference if they play their best football, and that's what we need.
Well, I hope you're right, Chris, but I have to see it to believe that, I'm afraid, because I've been wanting it all season. And I think the problems, as you said earlier, are bigger than Matt Turner. They're bigger than a couple of other things. For some reason, the fact is it's playing on their heads now, and all these other teams know about it. So it's just the nervy time. Even if we concede a goal that any other team would have conceded in said circumstances, it's like it's playing on the minds. It's playing on the minds. We just have to hope that Nuno and the players are sort of, they need to almost accept it and go, you know what, we're going to concede loads today from set pieces. Ward-Prowse is getting two. Bowen's going to get on the end of one, and then some stupid one's going to go, and we're going to concede four stupid goals because we're Forest. But guess what? We're going to go and win. We're going to get five. We have to go and get five.
But Matt, why can't we just try and try and go back to... Look, I know a lot of people don't want me to go back to Cooper tactics, but just for a change, for a little bit. Palace did it today for quite a bit of time, and they had some results.
And they lost 3-1.
Yeah, I know they lost 3-1 late in the game. What I'm saying is, can we just go back to, like, let's minimise their opportunities? Because, like, he did it really well against Arsenal, did Nuno? We just had one stupid mistake that opened up the floodgates. But, like, realistically, can we just, like, go back to, like, minimising their mistakes? And if I'm honest with you, like, I'm not saying, like, realistically, I think Niakate and Murillo are our best sort of combination. But I'm tempted to throw Omobamadeli back in there. I thought he did really well against Bournemouth.
Yeah, you've already
got the
said
end
that.
Of a lovely
you've already
set
said
piece.
That.
Huh?
Yeah, you've already said that.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, I'm trying to give a generalised version of what I think the team should be at the game. Let's list our teams against West Ham.
Go on, you go for it. You're quicker.
Way of even doing this.
No, go on. We know I don't do teams. I'm neither interesting with it or interested in doing it, but very interested in hearing everyone else's. So you hit me with it.
Okay. Sells and goals. Murillo. Omobamadeli, left back Toffolo, right back.
Ooh.
Aina, if he's back.
Unit.
Midfield. I'm going back to Yates.
Very triggering.
Is Yates on his best day? Is Yates against Man United hassling, harrying, causing problems, carrying the ball forward? I need to see that Ryan Yates, and I believe that he's there. And Dominguez. Although, actually, no, if Sangare's back, I would like to see Sangare, because he's well-oiled now from the AFCON, but he might still be celebrating. But if Sangare's back, actually, I would do Sangare and Dominguez, just to see it, because Dominguez is a good pressing player, despite me calling him poor one week and everyone ripped me out of it. I actually do like Dominguez, just in case you don't get over the hyperbole. And then, obvious...
That is your... You use the word hyperbole in every episode now, and it does my head in.
Well, it's a good word. It's a good word because it recognize. Fuck off. All right. My forward front line are Gibbs White, Elanga, Taiwo Wanyi, and Callum Hudson-Odoi. And if you don't like my lineup and you don't like hyperbole, you can piss off back where you came from, Matt, which is on the side of the road with no driver's license. And with that, follow us at.
Score prediction on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Score prediction. Score prediction is. We need to win, so we're going to win.
Yeah, you can't see it though, can you?
I can see it. We're going to win.
You can't see it.
Because we'll minimise them to one goal. It'll be 2-1 Forest. All right? And Bowen will score for them. He'll be in my fantasy football team. Hudson-Odoi and Gibbs White will score for us, because when Gibbs White scores, Forest win. What about you?
I mean, what is this? Do we have to say positives? I feel like we should, because we're trying to keep people's spirits up, I guess. I honestly, hand on heart, think we're going to lose, and it's going to get worse and worse before it gets better.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming, everybody. I'm glad you waited to hear the bittersweet symphony turn bitter once again. Thanks, Matt. Always a pleasure.
Oh, wait. Sorry, everyone. I do hope we win. As I said, 5-4. I hope it's a barnstormer, and I hope it's nuts, and I hope we go out and do something. It's incredible. It makes my life a bit better. But I can't see it at the minute, and I want to. But I'm a negative Nelly today, so I do apologise.
Follow us at Forest All Over on Instagram, or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Determine you go to forestallover.com. Thanks for coming, Matt. Take care.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.